hint of intellectual curiosity about what the Constitution actually says when it comes to the powers of the president or Congress. In fact, one of his former aides, Sam Nunberg, once told a journalist that it was his job during the campaign to educate Trump on the Constitution, but that he didn't get very far before Trump stopped paying attention. Nunberg was sent to explain the Constitution to the candidate. I got as far as the Fourth Amendment before his finger is pulling down on his lip and his eyes are rolling back in his head. And I believe this story because Trump always makes it very obvious when he's bored. Just watch him whenever he's in a meeting and someone else is speaking. He looks straight down and literally hugs himself for comfort.
It's okay, it's okay. Soon the bad man who's not you will stop talking.
In fact, you can see the result of Trump's non-existent attention span when he tries to repeat details of stories that got dumped into the polluted river of his brain and warped by all that toxic sludge that's just sloshing around in there. Like when he told a story on Monday about a military briefing that made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
When I took over our military, we didn't have ammunition. I was told by a top general, maybe the top of them all, sir, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have ammunition. I said, I'll never let another president have that happen to him or her. We didn't have ammunition.
Now, that was vaguely based on something real. In early 2017, the military reportedly was worried about a shortage of bombs. So, sort of in the neighborhood, but not really close. The story got warped so badly in Trump's rotting brain that it turned into an incoherent rant about a top general, maybe the top of them all, coming to him and saying, we have no ammunition. Like, first of all, what do you mean he was a top general, maybe the top of them all? He was either a top general or he wasn't. In the military, there's no gray area about who's at the top. You don't have to Google it. Well, according to TripAdvisor, he's number one, but Yelp says he's only 3 stars. Second, can we hear what this top general supposedly said again?
Sir, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have ammunition.
That is not how generals talk. He might have said, sir, we are currently experiencing a shortage of ordnance, but this dummy over here heard, sir, we don't have bullets, sir. We've been throwing kitchen supplies at the enemy, sir. We got one guy out there running around with a food processor, sir. He hasn't killed anyone, but he's becoming a real master baker. So, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise that this is the same self-obsessed idiot who thinks impeachment is unconstitutional and insists he has the absolute right to do whatever he wants, and now he's actively obstructing the impeachment inquiry. For example, yesterday, the White House blocked a key player in the Ukraine scandal, an ambassador named Gordon Sondland, from testifying. Now, Sondland came to prominence last week after a series of damning new text messages was released in which State Department officials expressed concern to Sondland about the quid pro quo Trump was dangling with Ukraine. Sondland was one of the key players involved in that quid pro quo, and at one point during the text exchanges, he realized he should not be texting about this scandal at all.
On September 1st, the top U.S. diplomat in Ukraine, Bill Taylor, texts the U.S. ambassador to EU, Gordon Sondland, and writes this. Are we now saying that security assistance and White House meetings are conditioned on investigations? Sondland says, call me.
Oh, man, anytime you text someone and they write back, call me, it is not good. Like if you texted your fiancé, can't wait to get married tonight, and they just wrote back, call me, you better find out if that honeymoon suite is refundable. So naturally, the Democrats want to interview Sondland as part of the impeachment inquiry, but Trump is simultaneously blocking Sondland from testifying while also claiming that he would love to let Sondland testify.
On Twitter, the president insisted he would love to send Ambassador Sondland to testify, but unfortunately, he would be testifying before a totally compromised kangaroo court.
I'm sorry, you're calling them a kangaroo court? You're the one who literally puffs out your chest like you're defending your territory. Fundamentally, what Trump's behavior proves, once again, is that all those years of empty Republican rhetoric about respecting the Constitution were a fraud. Republicans are falling in line behind a guy who's declaring himself above the Constitution and claiming absolute powers to do whatever he wants. We've had corrupt, lawless presidents before, but Trump is the top.
Maybe the top of them all.
If you go back to the case of United States against Nixon, the Supreme Court did uphold a subpoena for the records, the White House tapes records. The administration continues to stonewall, and the story, the underlying narrative, doesn't hold up, and apparently it's not. Then the House is going to be prepared to act, and we're of course in a highly fluid situation. But even at this point, one I think would be able to argue successfully that there's probable cause to believe that high crimes and misdemeanors have been committed in several ways.
The day Richard Nixon failed to answer that subpoena is the day that he was subject to impeachment, because he took the power from Congress over the impeachment process away from Congress, and he became the judge and jury.
20 years ago, you said that not complying with the subpoena was an
impeachment. Nothing's changed.
We now know that the president didn't turn over all the documents in response to a congressional subpoena.
Sure.
And that's just unacceptable.
All of the Watergate litigation resolved the fact that the president is not above the law, is not able to avoid subpoenas.
To me, it's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word.
For starters, in case you missed it, House investigators are looking to an allegation that groups, including at least one foreign government, tried to ingratiate themselves to President Donald Trump by booking rooms at his hotels but never staying in them. Well, governments pay for the rooms but then never go in what are called ghost bookings. A lot of people are saying this kind of open criminality is just Trump's management style.
Donald Trump sought to run U.S. foreign policy the way Tony Soprano ran his crime family.
It is right out of Don Corleone.
Donald Trump speaks like a mobster.
This is how a mafia boss talks.
He's acting like a mob boss.
That sounds a lot like a mob boss.
We see this from mob bosses.
He's taken on this persona of a mobster.
Oh, yeah, Trump really sees himself as a tough guy mobster. Leave the gun. And if you take the cannoli, I'm going to shoot you with the gun. And remember what Trump said about any of his former aides who cooperated with Robert Mueller?
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching flippers. Everything's wonderful, and then they get 10 years in jail, and they flip on whoever the next highest one is, or as high as you can go.
I think you should ask for VP Pence's conversation, because he had a couple of conversations also.
He's throwing as many people as he can under the bus. Last week, for example, Trump tried to pin the blame for the Ukraine phone call on his energy secretary, Rick Perry, claiming it was Perry's idea to make the call in the first place. But then we found out yesterday that Trump ordered Perry and two State Department officials to coordinate with his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, as part of the scheme to extort Ukraine and get them to gin up politically motivated investigations.
Two sources tell CNN that President Trump directed his energy secretary, Rick Perry, and two top State Department officials to circumvent official channels and to have his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, deal with a potential meeting with the Ukrainian president.
So Trump concocted a scheme to dangle hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine as part of a quid pro quo to get them to dig up dirt on a political opponent.
The wheels on the bus go over Rick Perry, over Rick Perry, over Rick Perry. If you work for the driver, you should be wary. All through impeachment, under the bus is also Mike Pence, also Mike Pence, also Mike Pence. He's as white as a picket fence. All through impeachment, the driver of the bus says, calm down, folks, it's a hoax, it's just jokes. Then the driver of the bus says, help me, China, and grabs him by the vagina.
And this talk about Trump acting like a mob boss has got this clip recirculating about him. He was on this very stage with David Letterman just a few years ago, and Dave asked him if Trump ever interacted with organized crime.
I have met on occasion a few of those people. They happen to be very nice people.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're very nice people. That's why they always have nicknames like Tony Two Charities Lucchese and Jimmy Race for the Cure Gambino. So, Trump fancies himself a Don, but the only mobster Trump is even remotely close to is Fredo.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Our brand new Fox News poll, the headline, more than half of those polled, 51%, want President Trump impeached and removed from office.
New indications of just how seriously President Trump is now taking the impeachment inquiry and how seriously he's pushing to keep Republican senators, potential jurors, remember, in line.
One of the things we've learned is that the president is so consumed with this impeachment inquiry that he's now calling Senator McConnell as many as three times a day.
Trump, of course, is freaking out because every day we learn more about the scheme Trump and his gang of mafia-themed Pez dispensers concocted to get Ukraine to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. Now, Trump has been insisting that his phone call with Ukraine's president, in which he dangled hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid and in return told the president of Ukraine, I would like you to do us a favor, though, was not just appropriate, but perfect. He's literally said or tweeted that specific word dozens of times.
The conversation I had with the president of Ukraine was absolutely perfect. The conversation, by the way, was absolutely perfect. It was a perfect conversation. It was perfect.
The call was perfect. That was a perfect conversation.
Just so you know, the call was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect.
The call was a perfect call. It was a perfect call. Perfect call.
I had a perfect phone call with the president of Ukraine. Like, I mean, perfect. The call was a perfect call. The conversation was, I think, a perfect conversation. That call was perfect.
The call was perfect. It was a perfect call.
It was perfect.
Okay, talk to you soon. Judges?
Well, it doesn't really get much better than that.
They call that untouchable. And the selection committee, all three of them.
Yes.
A White House official who listened in on the call to Ukraine's president described the call as crazy, frightening, and completely lacking in substance related to national security.
The official was visibly shaken by what had transpired, and in the official's view, the president had clearly committed a criminal act.
The Fox News poll also gauged voters' reaction to what President Trump said on his phone call with his Ukrainian counterpart regarding possible pressure put on Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. 43% say it's an impeachable offense.
According to the New York Times, President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is now under federal criminal investigation over his work in Ukraine.
U.S. nationals Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman were charged with illegally funneling foreign donations to political campaigns, including $325,000 to a pro-Trump super PAC.
And it's going to be pretty difficult for Giuliani in particular to distance himself here, because he reportedly had lunch with them just hours before they were arrested. And it is not hard to find evidence of their relationship online.
This video from 2018 shows them laughing it up with Giuliani at the Trump Hotel.
See you in Ukraine soon.
We know Giuliani wanted career diplomat Marie Yovanovitch removed as ambassador to Ukraine because he felt she was blocking his anti-Biden campaign. Igor and Lev also wanted her gone. Enter Congressman Pete Sessions. Igor and Lev donated a bunch of money to him, and at a meeting, Parnas apparently told him the ambassador was disloyal to Trump and that she'd been bad-mouthing our president. We know this meeting happened not from some unnamed whistleblower, but because Parnas publicly posted these pictures with Sessions captioned, "Hard at work!" That same day, Sessions wrote to Mike Pompeo telling him he had evidence from close companions that Yovanovitch had spoken about her disdain for the current administration. And sure enough, Trump eventually removed her, even bragging about it after the fact.
In the July phone call with the Ukrainian president that sparked this impeachment inquiry, Trump called Yovanovitch bad news, later saying she was going to go through some things.
Wow. That sounds pretty ominous. Although it is possible that by go through some things, he just meant continue to live in this Kafkaesque nightmare where Donald Trump is president of the United States. In which case, yeah, all of us are going through some things right now, buddy. Same. So these two goons allegedly used money from foreign sources to help start a whisper campaign to get a U.S. ambassador removed. And it's frankly amazing they were taken seriously by anyone, given the obvious red flags. The company one of them paid Giuliani through was called, and this is true, Fraud Guarantee.
Rudy Giuliani has previously stated that he has worked with the two men on efforts to get Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden.
Well, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Rudy. I spoke to him yesterday briefly. He's a very good attorney, and he has been my attorney. Yeah, sure.
Well, were you ever aware, Mr. Vice President, an interest in the Bidens, an interest in investigating the Bidens, at least in part of the reason for aid to Ukraine being held up?
I never discussed the issue of the Bidens with President Zelensky, and what I can tell you is that all of our discussions internally.
Well, you were aware of the interest in the Bidens being investigated.
I was.
And that being tied to aid to Ukraine being held up.
That's your question. Let me be very clear. The issue of aid and our efforts with regard to Ukraine. Were from my experience in no way connected.
What you need to know from me about this is I don't want to go to jail.
Bolton objected to Ukraine pressure campaign, calling Giuliani a hand grenade. The effort to pressure Ukraine for political help provoked a heated confrontation inside the White House last summer that so alarmed John Bolton, then National Security Advisor, that he told an aide to alert White House lawyers, House investigators were told on Monday, quote, "I am not part of whatever drug deal Rudy and Mulvaney are cooking up," Mr. Bolton told Fiona Hill to tell White House lawyers, according to the testimony.
We know from our reporting a month or so ago that it was Mulvaney who withheld the military aid for Ukraine at the direction of President Trump. So he was involved in this scenario in that moment with the decision about the military aid. But now we're learning that he was a part of what Bolton characterized as a drug deal.
If we're using the organized crime family model, it's now looking like Mulvaney would be someone we call a captain or a crew chief. He's running a crew. And Nicole, I almost hope that they're going to throw Mulvaney under the bus. Here's why. He's the closest we're going to get to the president and to attribution and guilt and consciousness of guilt for the president. So if he's pressed hard and he's facing exposure, criminal exposure, he may well say, "I'm not going down for this president. I will tell you that I was instructed to do this, this, and that."
I'm stunned by the Gallup number. The 52%, I expected when the president confessed to the misconduct that the public would be supportive of an investigation more transparent than the Mueller probe. But I'm stunned that we're at 52% of the American people who support his removal from office a year before an election.
It is a really shocking number. And I think what it is doing is putting the Republicans and the Trump defenders who are not the full MAGA, you know, the anti-Trump crowd, into a really tough spot, right? And I've got an article on this in the Bulwark tomorrow where it's...
Names. You know, who are you talking about?
Everybody in the Senate, pretty
Portman,
much.
Yeah, Burr.
Yeah, sure, Portman, Burr, Graham.
Cornyn.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Lamar Alexander. Mm-hmm. Lamar Alexander is a specific example. He put out a press release that says, bad, but not removable, not impeachable. Let's let the voters decide. But this argument doesn't make any sense, right? Because the thing that you're saying is bad is that Trump was trying to interfere in the very election that you say should, you know, render a judgment on whether he can stay in the presidency. That argument doesn't hold water.
Preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
T-minus 5. T-minus 4.
The sound you are hearing is the final countdown to an experimental atomic blast, the most awesome, devastating power known to mankind.
Radioactive fallout, that deadly byproduct of a nuclear attack, will kill literally millions of unprotected families in the event of an atomic attack. Is your family protected? Do you have a fallout shelter?
Now, Survive All Shelters offer an economic, do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Constructed of combination steel and concrete block and civil defense approved, a Survive All Shelter can be assembled in a weekend's time.
Put your time to good use. Assemble a fallout shelter that can save your family from deadly nuclear fallout.
See a Survive All Shelter today.
Thank you.
Okay, now you can start. Just read that, and you can improvise, you know, just...
Hi, my name is Tara Klein. I'm from Northeast Parent and Child Society, the largest foster care provider in upstate New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, New York.
Excellent. Perfect.
Nervous.
Oh, honey, I just heard some terrible news.
What's that, honey?
The radio station WGXC is going off the air.
Oh, my goodness. Did you know you could donate by check? Give them a check to WGXC 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405.
And you can also go to their website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and donate monthly, a sustaining supporter.
Oh, I'll be a sustaining supporter, honey, once we get up to that St. Charles Hotel.
Oh, yes, I love the bar there.
There's no bar there.
That's what I meant.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alex Benson of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, the local hangout of the airwaves for Greene and Columbia counties.
Trump must stop his attacks on the press. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Donald Trump's daily fusillades against journalists and the news media are vile and reprehensible. Trump never misses a chance to assail the press at news conferences, White House press sprays under the roar of the presidential helicopter, and especially at his campaign rallies. Last week, at a three-day conference of Trump supporters held at his National Doral Golf Resort in Miami, where, incidentally, Trump is angling to host and thus personally profit from next year's G7 meeting, a video was shown depicting Trump storming through a church of fake news, slaughtering parishioners whose heads were replaced with news organization logos or the faces of political opponents. Reports of the violent video sparked outrage, but the time for surprise over Trump's demonization of the press is long past. He's fueling hatred and encouraging violence and needs to be held accountable. According to the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, journalists have faced over 100 separate incidents of press freedom violations so far this year. From arbitrary arrests while covering protests to denial of access to immigrant jails or important public hearings. Fortunately, there have not been any deaths among U.S.-based journalists this year, but journalists around the world have faced injury and death in the course of their work. Soon after an October 6 phone call between Trump and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Trump made the surprise announcement ordering U.S. troops to withdraw from Kurdish-controlled northern Syria. Shortly after an October 6 phone call between Trump and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Trump made the surprise announcement ordering U.S. troops to withdraw from Kurdish-controlled northern Syria. Shortly thereafter, Turkey invaded. At a news conference Wednesday, Trump boasted that no U.S. soldiers have been harmed, calling the situation nice.
All accounted for, nobody injured, nobody missing. It's really nice.
Yet among other attacks, a Turkish airstrike on a civilian caravan in northern Syria Sunday killed 15 people, including two Syrian Kurdish journalists, Mohammed Hussein Rasho and Saad Ahmed. Last week marked the first anniversary of the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi inside the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, reportedly killed on the orders of the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Khashoggi wrote critically of the Saudi dictator and was lured into the consulate to obtain documents for his forthcoming marriage. There, he was allegedly tortured, suffocated to death, dismembered by a team of a dozen Saudi operatives. The CIA traced the orders to bin Salman. Despite this, Trump still supports the Crown Prince, even vetoing congressional condemnations of Khashoggi's killing and restrictions on arms sales to Saudi Arabia, which also enables the kingdom's ongoing bombing of Yemen. Journalism, even outside of war zones, is still a dangerous profession. This week marks the second anniversary of the assassination of the independent journalist Daphne Galizia in the Mediterranean island of Malta. She'd been doggedly reporting on corruption at the highest levels of Maltese government. As the Committee to Protect Journalists wrote on the anniversary of her death, October 16th, three men are currently in detention in relation to the killing. However, the perpetrators, including the masterminds, have yet to be brought to justice, they said. A consortium of press organizations has taken a novel approach to ensure that the work of murdered or otherwise silenced colleagues continues. Forbidden Stories is a network of journalists who have committed to pursuing these stories. Even if you succeed in stopping a single messenger, their website promises, dozens will take their place and deliver the message, they say. Forbidden Voices coordinated the Daphne Project, with 45 journalists pursuing Galizia's unfinished stories and investigating her assassination with important ongoing results. Green Blood is Forbidden Stories project on murdered and censored environmental journalists. With depth and rigor, the must-read reporting honors these journalists, providing a model for how members of the press can stand together in the face of serious threats. Their first reports covered three cases where violence and intimidation have been used to silence a free press: the murder of the Indian journalist Jagendra Singh for his work on organized crime related to India's powerful sand mafias that illegally extract and sell sand; the suppression of reporting on the massive, heavily polluting North Mara gold mine in Tanzania; and indigenous resistance to a nickel mine in Guatemala. There, reporter Carlos Chok has fought criminal charges for over 2 years, stemming from his reporting fleeing to El Salvador at one point to avoid arrest. While the court case drags on, Chok is prevented from reporting. A free press is vital to a democratic society, which is why it is enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. President Trump encourages violence against journalists with his constant vitriol. Condemnation of his behavior, of his words, must be vigorous, bipartisan, and unrelenting. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
In the middle of the Testify pledge drive, give us a call, 518. What is the number? Oh, God. It's all this sugar and mezcal. I'm telling you, it's been in my brain for the last 45 years. Where are we? Let's see. WGXC.org/donate. That's the easiest one to remember. I think you can do that in your sleep. Please. Give this station enough money so they can stop doing pledge drives. It's super ridiculous. I love the radio station. It's my solace in life, my mental solace from all the peculiarities that go on from day to day inside people's brains. But we need to keep going. There's no way to keep going without some cash. I know you're like, boring, stupid, but you can do this. Actually, I should start doing it. I should start doing it myself. But there's a really cool underwriting plan where you give them some cash, and then they do announcements for your business or whatever. They can recognize you throughout the week, through all the programming. News programs, public affairs programs, and they put your logo on there. It's like $3,000, and for the year they'll do 10 announcements a week. That's quite the kick, what do you call it? Return on your investment. For $2,900, nonprofits do get a discounted rate. For $2,900, you get 10 on-air announcements for underwriting shows, programs, cultural arts, local, national, international news, public affairs, blah, 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 blah. And your logo is displayed on the website for the duration. So for $3,000, 10 times a week, they tell people you exist. Now that's validation. Vampire validation. Validation vampire. I met Guy the other day, and he said he's a validation vampire. He just tells people they look good. Whether or not they do, I don't know. I didn't look so good, but he said I look good. For 3 months, you can give him $775, and they'll do 10 announcements a week. Similar thing, there's also these burst announcements, which you can do for like $100. They'll do 10 announcements, like right leading up to your event. For $100, I mean, you can't. Facebook doesn't even charge. They charge like tons of money, and no one's looking at Facebook anymore except for like 12-year-olds. And there's a web-only one. Just go to the website. Oh, my gosh. Okay, can I just tell you the new T-shirt? Rebecca Bray has made this really tripped-out psychedelic shirt. They're $25. You can get them at the Hudson Studio, the Acre Studio. You can get them by mail. You can get them up on the website. It's like $25 plus shipping and handling. For under $35, you get this amazing Rebecca Bray T-shirt. It's really tripped out. It's really good. It's like probably one of the best designs that the radio station has come up with. And they've come up with some doozies. There are also sustaining supporters at different levels. And if you call during the day or if you go to the website, you can see who that exactly is. And it's amazing. You can just have money scooped out of your account every week or month or whatever. And it sustains us on a consistent basis. And you don't even know the money's gone. It's like, whatever. You're like, what did I, I had $5. You can do $5 a month or 10 a month or 50 a month or 100 a month. And 100 a month, really, when you think about it, $25 a week to listen to some of the best programming in the Northeast, maybe the globe. You know that globe? It's on fire from garbage. People just throwing their garbage out the window. We also need records and CDs. We can donate some computers if you have any old computers, stocks, checks. Just go there, please. WGXC.org/donate. You can donate monthly. It's really easy now. You can just put your level in, $10 a month, and you put your name in there and you just donate. Just do it. It's so good. Here's Ben Webster right now, Battlefield Earth. Thank you. Ah, it's Ben Webster right there on the Battlefield Earth show. We are in the middle of Testify Pledge Drive. Testify, will you commit sustaining support in the form of a monthly donation to keep WGXC on the FM airwaves? Will you? Will we be overrun by all Trump radio? Could that happen? How about country Christian? How about Christian metal? How about Methodist metal? What would you like to hear instead of WGXC? Because that could happen if you stop listening to the voices in your head that tell you. It'd be so great right now if you just picked up that phone, 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400. Ah, there we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my. WGXC. Of course. Oh, there we go. There we go. That's my speed right there. You can also go to wgxc.org/donate, and you can even tell them what show you're into. You can email them, you can donate monthly, you can donate one time, you can give us some stock or securities donations, you know, when you have all your stock portfolio laid out in front of you, you could just give us a little chunk of whatever that is. Do people do that? I hope so. There's a WGXC record and media fair coming up. You can donate your records and CDs. Macintosh preferred computers, 2011 or newer. Computers Windows 20 or 12 newer. We can always use for using servers and memories and RAMs, ROMs, and bits and bytes and whatnot. You can do these basic underwriting plans, which are really cool. I think I'm going to do it for my shop. $2,900. You can get 10 on-air announcements every week. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty great. Yeah, this is Terry Gross from Fresh Air. Hi. Welcome, Hudson. Welcome to the multicultural stew pot we call the Hudson Valley. Oh, yeah. Swimming is optional. What else can you do? You can just support something that is so important, so vital to every stripe of youth and elderly and black and white, genderless, people who are full of gender, people who are just genderless. They don't want gender in their bodies. I know what that's like. I don't want it anymore. I've eaten too many cookies. I don't want any genders. I just want to lie down and be a cipher, be a flesh cipher. And there's people who are bountiful, and there's people who are generous, and there's people who are poor, and we need to help out, and we need to lift each other up. This is like human race stuff. This is so simple. Just give us a call or go to the website, wgxc.org/donate, or call us at 518-697-7400. You can say, keep that wonderful Battlefield Earth program on the air. It's so good. It's like the Garrison Keillor of the Amtrak bathroom. Ah, yes, the Amtrak bathroom. Or you could say, get that nasty man off the air. All he does is talk about poop and pee and blood, vomit. That's all he talks about. I actually haven't talked about any of that in the last 7 years that I've been on the radio station, but I could start if you pay me. 518-697-7400. Give us a call or go to wgxc.org/donate. There is so many ways for you to make us happy. You can go up and you can go down and you can go sideways and you can go all around.
You're listening to the radio WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. We're going to hear from Pythias Braswell this hour. He's performing October 20th at 3 p.m. at Hudson Hall in Hudson. Here's a song from his new record, Thy Merciful Teeth, called Little Bird.
Close your eyes, like a sad little flower, all alone in the sand and the wind. And you dug into him like a bird in the snow, but his eyes fell down a road, and in the end he wouldn't speak, he only stared. Well, your daddy was like a shrine Mama was like a ghost wrapped around her own life, tucked away, and you would shine just like a dime lost in the cow. You bit a tear for someone too fast, so you act like a child, and the scars are too deep to be found, and the harder you pull, dream. angels.